There it is. Oh, oh, Sylvia. Good morning. It's Friday and it's payday and we've just played Money, Money, Money. How are you doing this Friday morning?
Great, Ed. Thank you. Yeah, absolutely great. And I'm glad to hear it's payday for you.
Oh, you don't even need to ask how I'm doing because you know exactly how I'm doing this Friday morning. Sylvia, long time no chat. It feels like we haven't chatted in ages.
Yes, I know. You were not around last week, but we still, the show went on despite that.
Hey, a man's got to take a holiday. A man's got to pamper himself once in a while. You know, just
absolutely
take care of the body. Sylvia, to you listening at home, thank you so much for joining the conversation as usual at this time, which is our Money Matters slot every Friday. This time we chat to Sylvia Walker, who is our residential financial guru, who talks to us, giving us advice on money matters. And to you listening at home, if ever you want to get in contact with Sylvia, whether it's personal advice that you need or whether it's a discussion that you'd like her to have on the show, please use the email address sylvia@sylviawalker.co.za. Sylvia, we're concluding the discussion today where we're talking about the importance of financial considerations before getting married. And one of the things that we as people sometimes, when we talk about marriage, we always think it's first time getting married. We forget that there are people out there that will be getting married for the second, third, fourth, fifth, and sixth time.
Maybe not that many.
Why are you laughing? Sylvia, I said that with a straight face, by the way. Because, hey,
okay, I'm sorry.
Not all of us do get lucky. But, I mean, second and third time marriages, Sylvia, can be more complicated, I mean, than getting married for the first time. Why is that?
I think, Ed, just in terms of the numbers, as you say, most people think they only get married once, but about one in three first-time marriages fail in South Africa, and about one in two second marriages. So a lot of people are getting divorced, and a lot of those people are getting married again. So that is a reality, you know, for a huge number of people. Why is it more complicated? Because the second time round, you're not as innocent as you would have been the first time you got married. You know, you've got a bit of a history. You've probably accumulated some things, so you've got some assets. And you're also a bit wiser, as I was saying, because you've been through it before. You may also have children from the previous marriage, and there may be financial commitments that you actually bring with you, you know, based on the previous marriage, children that need to be supported financially, children in general. I mean, that's a huge challenge often for people, is the whole kind of blended families, you know, having to deal with somebody else's children. But financially, that can put quite a strain on a relationship as well. So it's not just about the two of you in the marriage, but it's about the financial commitments and the result of the previous relationships or marriages that you bring with you. Critical thing, of course, is the marital contract. Because you probably want to protect what you're bringing in. Because you're bringing in more, you probably want to protect that. So we spoke about a few weeks ago about, you know, the importance of the marital contract. But as I said, if you're getting married for the second or third time, hopefully maybe not further than that, but you would want to protect what you're actually bringing in to the marriage by having a marital contract in place. And this probably would be, you know, out of community contract so that you actually are protected in terms of your assets that you bring in with you.
We are chatting to Sylvia Walker as we do at this time every Friday on our Money Matters slot. I invite you at home to also join in the conversation. And perhaps, Sylvia, let's ask the listeners out there, what sort of financial lessons did you take out of your first marriage? If that isn't, hell, even if you are in the first marriage still, what financial lessons have you taken out of the experience? If you're getting married for the second or third time, what financial experiences did you take out of that marriage? 021-446-0567, that is a number. And so the question then, Sylvia, begs, what steps can I take then to make sure that I have a solid financial base for the marriage?
I think, Abs, the very first thing is that you need to obviously make sure your will is up to date, because people often forget to do that, to update their will. And I actually remember a story I'll never forget. We were doing a radio show in Joburg a good few years ago, and one of the listeners phoned in and she said she and her husband, it's their second marriage, both of them. They work in the same business, they own the business, and he still hasn't changed his will. So it was one of those horror stories where, in fact, she was so vulnerable because everything was still, you know, he hadn't changed his will. So, but very important to make sure the will has changed to reflect the new circumstances and the new you know, the new wife, the new family. And then the other critical thing is, if there are children, let's say as a woman you're marrying a man who has, you know, and needs to pay child support for children to his ex-wife, to make sure there's enough life cover there, because if he died, those children would have a claim against the estate, those minor children from the previous marriage, and that could jeopardize the current marriage and the, you know, what the current spouse is entitled to. Not jeopardize, but she would be second in line. So it's very important to actually have enough life cover in place if he died, to make sure that there is those minor children from the previous relationship would be taken care of. People often forget that; they don't actually think about that. And then also, just in terms of the will, is to make sure you discuss who's going to get what. You know, if you did die, who would inherit what? Because again, there could be conflict there. You know, are children from a previous marriage going to inherit something, or who is going to get what? You know, how would the spoils be divided? So, yeah, that's very, very much around the will, and the critical thing, as I said, making sure the right marital contract's in place, and then also making sure that the will is actually in order and is, you know, reflects the needs of both people in the marriage.
You are listening to the Early Breakfast Show on Cape Talk. It is 16 minutes past five. We're discussing money matters with Sylvia Walker, and this time we're talking about if you're going in for the second, third or fourth time into a marriage, and we're asking you at home, what sort of lessons, financial lessons, have you taken out of your first marriage? Sylvia, for so many of us, I mean, for so many people in their first marriage, they decide not to have a family. What happens then with those people that start a new family in their second marriage? I mean, someone decides to, they suddenly decide to have a baby together. What is the financial impact on this?
Well, it's quite interesting, and people don't always think about it. But if you're getting remarried, and you might have had children first time round, but often people want to have a child. You know, they get married maybe in their late 30s, early 40s, and they marry again, and they want to have a child together, which is great. But if people often don't think of the long term impact of that, because let's say the man is 40 when that child is born. By the time that child is 20, he is 60. So, you know, instead of having children younger and, you know, by the time you reach retirement age, you can retire, you actually are still having a child to support at the age when you should start be winding down, you know, start winding down yourself and start thinking about actually your own retirement. So the later people start having children, the greater impact it actually puts on them at the end of the day. So instead of retiring at 65, they may still have a child that they're busy putting through university. Do you know what I'm saying? So people don't often think about the long term. It's great. We found each other now. We've got married. We've each got married again. Let's start a family. But what are the implications further on down the line? So again, it just puts extra strain, financial strain. I'm not saying people shouldn't have those children, obviously, but it just puts extra financial strain. So you need to realize that you're going to have double, you know, commitments when you're older, or you may have to work longer because your retirement will be so much later in life. It won't happen maybe at 60 or 65.
You know, as much as I believe in marriage, you know, having listened to our conversation so far, when it's Sylvia, I'm thinking to myself, ooh, maybe it's okay not to get married. I'm just joking. I hope someone is not listening to this. I was just joking. I was just playing. Okay, Sylvia, I mean, though, we're rounding off this discussion when it comes to marriages, though. I'm sure, though, there would be other general financial issues to consider when you're going into a marriage. What would those be from your point of view?
Yes, absolutely. And these are kind of universal things. They apply, it doesn't matter which, you know, the first, second, third marriage. You need to understand your partner's approach towards money. It's a huge issue, a huge area of conflict in relationships if people don't understand. You know, they have different views. So what I perceive as an approach towards money is different from yours. Maybe I'm a saver, maybe you're a spender. So it can cause huge conflict. So discuss that. Discuss your history with money and how you view money, so that you can have an understanding of each other's behavior when it comes to money. Very, very important. Also, just decide in terms of how you're going to pay for things, you know, in what proportion. So let's say the one person earns much more than the other, you don't have to pay for everything equally. The one who earns more could actually pay a bit more than the other person, proportionate-wise. Also, just decide who's going to pay for everything. You know, are you going to pay for bills separately, or are you going to have a joint bank account for household expenses? Are you going to buy your own home, or are you going to rent? You know, decide on that. And it's important to, from a financial perspective, you know, a marriage or any relationship is built on, obviously, on love and trust and sort of long-term goals and a vision. So from a financial perspective, you need to have that too. You need to share the same long-term view and long-term vision. If you don't, that can also you can come unstuck from a financial perspective. So it's really just about discussing things, you know, talking about things, being open and honest with each other. And I know we spoke about this, I think, a good few months ago, but it's critical, as is the other aspects of the relationship, critical to talk about your money, be on the same page and be equal partners and have equal say, because that's another very unhealthy area if the one thinks that they, you know, they've got the rule, they've got the veto in the house. It should be a partnership, it should be discussed together, and it should be, the financial base should be built together with both people feeling comfortable with the way things are going in the household financially.
Sylvia, I leave you then with this SMS coming in from Martin saying, "Hi, Abs, hide your money from your wife." Hey, this man, I'm afraid of dying, Martin. I will never do that. I do find that, Sylvia, everything that I think I've hidden, I will hide something. She knows exactly how to get things out of me. So, point is, Martin, I won't even try it. Sylvia, always a pleasure chatting with you. Once again, we look forward to our discussion next week, Friday.
Absolutely, Abs. Have a good weekend.
Thank you so much, Sylvia Walker. And by the way, a reminder to you listening at home that if you ever want to get in contact with Sylvia, you can use her email address, which is sylvia@sylviawalker.co.za.